the carcasses, I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines, this day unto the fowls of the air. That English got me. And to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Yes. They need to know there's a God. Yes. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Yes. Basically, in Ebonics, David said, I got you, because this battle is the Lord's. Verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and sling it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Let me read verse 51 because it seems incomplete without it. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took the sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to use for a thought the courage to conquer. Subtitle, slang it. Slang it. Just what David did. Huh? Just slang it. Amen. Just slang it. Don't worry about how and where it's going. Huh? Just do it. The book of 1 Samuel is part one of a two-part book that is about the time when the last judge of Israel and the prophet of Israel that helped to lead Israel, and then the point of time where the kings came about. This is a time when the first king of Israel was selected. Samuel tried to warn Israel that if you call yourself a king, then you'll have to do what the other folks are doing. They said, we don't care. We want to be like everybody else. Now, you got to be careful when you want to be like everybody else. He told them, he said, that if you want a king, you don't want to be led by God. They said, we don't care. We want a king because we want somebody we can tangibly see and look at and touch and hear. We want somebody like that, like everybody else has. He said, well, if you get him, he's going to tax you. He's going to draft your children in the army. You're going to be his servants. And they said they did not care. They wanted a king. It's amazing how sometimes we don't care what will become of the whole thing. We just want what we want. When God said, let me guide and let me lead you, I need a person. I need some tangible thing. I need it my way, God. God is saying to us today, are you want it your way or do you want it my way? And many of us are choosing our way. We're choosing to go our own way rather than choosing the way of the Lord. We're making up our own scripture. They're calling it whatever. Because the Lord said, we got all these quotes all over the place and we got all these little sayings and boom, after we say it, boom. Like, what boom mean? I don't know if y'all see that. Sometimes it be on Facebook, boom. Like, boom, what? I mean, like the Lord really said it. The truth is, Plato or Socrates or somebody said that stuff. Confucius. But anyway, they want. wanted their own king, and so they got a king by the name of Saul. At first, he started out as an humble man, but Saul became an idol worshiper, and he wanted to be an idol himself. He led Israel into a deep idolistic culture. He even turned to seeking out the dead. He went to a necromancer, who is a person who talks to the dead. He went to her and called up, later on called up Samuel, tried to call up Samuel's spirit so he can talk to him because he didn't have any guidance from God because he had gotten off track. Amen. You got to be careful when you get so far off track that you start going to see Miss Jane and them others. Oh, I did not. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call no names. But you got to be careful when you go looking for God in other sources. God gave us a way of communicating with him, and it's called prayer. The problem is we don't want to spend the time listening to God and waiting on him to speak to us, whether it's through the voice of our heart that he gives us, or a confirmation of peace in our heart, or something that he gives us in our mind, or through another, or even through the word of God. Amen. We have gotten to the point that we're not satisfied with the word of God, but we have to hear from somebody else. When you got to let somebody else guide your life, you ain't confident in your relationship with God. And I'm just here to tell you, if you got to have somebody tell you every two or three weeks that God said that he with you, then you got something wrong with you. You need to get you some faith because you really ain't got it. You need to get you some confidence because you really don't have it. I don't need somebody to tell me over and over that God said he's with me and God said that you're going to be all right. No, you know what? I already know this because he told me he'll never leave me, nor will he forsake me, that he'll be with me even until the end of the world. And he told me at the end that we win anyway. I'm more than a conqueror. He said all things work together. God already said this in his word, so why do I need to pay somebody? No, y'all don't believe they get paid for it. I had somebody tell me, they said that they had, somebody told them they had a word for them, and they said, but I can give it to you if you got me an offering. And they said, well, I only have $40. Well, God said you're supposed to give me $100, so I only can give you part of the prophecy. You see, y'all don't believe this stuff happens. But it happens. And I tell them, look, I can go to, if I don't know the word, I can go to Dollar Tree. 99 cents. And pick me a Bible up and read it for myself. Better yet, if I got a phone, there are some free Bible apps. I ain't got to give you my money to know what God has said to me. Y'all with me here? Okay, I'm going to leave that alone here. So he says that now Samuel, he's the prophet, and he's so accurate. The Bible says that God would not let he wouldn't let one word that Samuel said fall to the ground without him performing it. If Samuel said it, God said, I got to do what he said because he's my representative in the earth. All right? And so Samuel, he anointed Saul. Saul became king, and they had an enemy, the Philistines. They were people who attacked Israel on the regular because they wanted to take their fruit. They wanted to take Israel was a people who grew a lot of crops. And so in order for the Philistines to have stuff, because they were more coastal people, they had to go steal it from somebody else. So here they were stealing. You know, they were taken from them. And some of us, we face Philistines all the time. Amen. You know your bill collectors, that's the Philistines. Amen. Just trying to make sure y'all still awake here. And so here it is. They were coming to battle because they wanted to take over and they wanted to take what they had. But the Philistines had a secret weapon. They had some secret weapons. They had some of the sons of Anak. They had some folks from some giants, some people who were pretty tall. And they had Goliath, one of them by name, was about 9 feet 6. He was big boy. He was tall. He was not I mean, you think about Shaquille O'Neal and how big that man is, and then you think about Goliath. Goliath made him look like a little boy. And so Goliath was a giant. And so one day, David's father says, look, well, I want you to go check on your brothers who are in the army. David was not in the army because, remember, they didn't think a whole lot of David. David had already been anointed king now. He had already been anointed by Samuel, and he just wasn't functioning in the function yet because it wasn't time yet. Some of us, we try to get ahead of God. God has already anointed you. God has already prepared, but we try to get ahead of him, and we get mad when people don't want to accept us as who we think God said we are. And God said, it just ain't time yet. You just need to wait. Amen. Don't get in a hurry. Just wait on your time. So David, after he was anointed, you know what David went back to do? He went back and he started to watch over and guide these little sheep, this little flock of sheep that his daddy had given him. I wish I had somebody. Some of us, we want to go save. We think the world going to be saved just because we done arrived. Just because I realized my call in ministry. No, no, no. The world ain't going to be saved just because of you. The world is saved because of Jesus. Now, you do your little part, and you help who you can, but don't think that you're more than everybody else because God called you. He said, let he that is greatest among you be the servant. So go serve. Okay. Now David went back and he went back and herded sheep. That's what he did. He went back and shepherded sheep. He didn't go and try to find him something to, you know, some people to listen to him and try to prophesy to him. But he went out there and played music to the sheep. And he worshiped God in the wilderness. And one day his daddy called for him and said, look, I need you to go check on your brothers. Here, take them some bread, take them some cheese, take them, you know, some stuff to eat. You know, basically, take them some communion. Here's some wine. Take them some communion, some wine, some bread, and some cheese. Uh-huh. He said, take them this. So when you get there, check on them and see how they're doing and come back and let me know. So David arrives on the scene. Y'all still with me? Y'all? David arrives on the scene, and when he gets there, he finds out. Now, if you read the text, the context, you'll find out that Israel, at first, they were ready to go fight. They had marched down. They said, we're going, you know, we are soldiers in the army. You know, we got the fight. Y'all know that. And they were marching down. They wanted to fight. But when they got down there, they realized that we don't really want to fight. Because they saw Goliath. And they got fearful. And when they got fearful, they went hid in the mountain. But you with your king, the one you asked for, because Saul's name means asked of. He was asked for. They asked God for a king. He gave them a king. They followed the king, and the king got scared too. Now, mind you, that Saul was taller than everybody else from shoulders up. And he was afraid to go, but he offered some riches and his daughter, and he offered for the family of the person who fought the giant and defeated him. He said, y'all can live, your family can live free of taxation. Isn't that something? If you can have all your money and you don't have to give none to the government, that's worth a thought right there. I think I might have fought myself. You can keep your daughter. I just want them to be tax free. He told him, he said, look, I believe that Saul did not think that anybody would do it because he gave so much in his offer. If you read it, he says, I'll make you rich. I'll make not only you rich, but I'm going to let your whole family, now all of your family, I bet I have some relatives then. Ain't none of y'all got to pay no taxes. Y'all be saying, I'm his cousin, 10 times removed. That's what he said. Now, they were in the mountain hiding, and here come David. David left his sheep with somebody. See how responsible David was? He didn't just leave and let the sheep run wild. He left them with somebody. He had somebody riding with him down there. He said, okay, you stay here with the mule and buggy, horse and buggy, whatever it is, and I'm going to go see what's going on. When he got there, he heard what was going on, and not only that, he heard what Goliath had to say. And see, we let people who defy God, we let them say too much. Amen. preaching here. We let them go on and on and on, and we don't say nothing. We ain't there to defend God. And the reason why, because many of us don't know how to defend our faith. We don't know how to be apologetic, and I'm not talking about apologizing, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the word apologetic or apology. It actually means to explain. We can't explain why we believe what we believe. And if you can't explain why you believe what you believe, people will get you off track. They will back you up in a corner, and they will throw your own scriptures at you, and you won't have an answer for them. And you need to be able to know why. You need to be able to defend your faith. You not only need to be able to defend your faith, but your children ought to know, because when they face these same people, these same type folk, when they face, you know, the devil know the word, and so the devil tried to use the word against Jesus, and Jesus said, let me give you what the word really say. See, the devil will use the word out of context. When he told Jesus, he said, didn't the Lord say that if you be the Son of God, you can jump off this pinnacle of the temple? And he said, the angels will bear you up. And Jesus said that the Bible said, don't tempt the Lord your God. You got to know how, when the devil used that trickery and that foolery, you got to know how to handle the devil. Anybody here know how to handle snakes? The Bible said that you got to know how to handle the snake and the adder and the lion. You got to know how to handle all them animals, and all of that means those spirits that comes after you. So David shows up on the scene, and I'm trying to get there, y'all. It's a lovely story. It's a story of a conqueror, amen? And David shows up on the scene, and when he gets on the scene, you find out that he says, now when he says, he heard what they said, what Saul said he'd do, and David said, hold up, did I hear you right? Say that again. And when he asked that question, his brother got mad with him. His oldest brother said, you just came to see the battle. You know, you just nosy. You really ain't here to help. You just nosy. David said in verse number 29, David said, what have I done now? Just like a little brother. I used to say that all the time. What I do? But then look at what David said in verse 29. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Ask somebody, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for us to pray? Is there not a cause for us to hit the street? Is there not a cause for us to bring people out of darkness into the marvelous light? Is there not a cause for us to cast the devils out? Amen. Is there not a cause for us to get suited up and equipped up to the point that we can fight against what the enemy bring our way?
Amen.
Is there not a cause?
Yes.
While we sit in our homes and people are dying on the street, is there not a cause?
Yes.
While people are hungry, is there not a cause for us to feed them?
Amen.
While they're destitute and naked, is there not a cause for us to clothe them?
Yes.
Is there not a cause today? David asked the question, is there not a cause? And he turned from him. He said, forget my brother. And he spake in the same manner. And the people answered him again, and they told him what was said. Now, here's David, probably smaller than most of them, but he got a heart. He's courageous. And many of us, you may not look at yourself as somebody that's powerful, but you're more than a conqueror.
Yes.
You got to have courage.
Yes.
God told Joshua, be of good courage. In other words, don't have fear. We got to have faith in God. Israel had fear. They all began to fear, and they got up in the mountain. See, that goes to show you, if you hang around somebody that's scared, you need to get them around it, because they'll have you scared in a minute. You ever been with somebody and they jump? You say, what? Why you jumping? You ain't seen nothing. All you seen was their reaction. And sometimes that's how it is spiritually. We go by someone else's reaction. We look at what they do, and then we react based off what they do. You know, especially us colored folks and black people, or whatever you want to call African American, Afro-Americans, whatever you want to call yourself. If we see some people running, we ain't asking no questions. When we get to where we going and we breathe hard, what happened? You know, we're going to run. We ain't asking no questions. So, I mean, we're fearful. And do you know that is how we were controlled back in the Jim Crow era?
Oh, yeah.
By fear. That's why they would put those hoods on, and they ride out and they on their horses, and they come out there and burn crosses. And you know, the ones who had been former slaves, they thought that was the ghost of their former slave masters, you know, because they believed in haints and stuff like that. Y'all know what haints is. Young people don't know. But that's a ghost. They believed in that. They come to spook them. They come to haunt them. And so they would be fearful and wouldn't fight back. And before you know it, they figured out this is a way to keep them under control by fear. Then they wouldn't go vote like we do now. I don't know why we don't now. Ain't no reason to fear. But so anyway, they were in fear. And you know, fear is the opposite of faith. And if you got fear, you cannot have faith at the same time. All right, let me see here. So David shows up on the scene. Verse 32. David said to Saul, he says, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, David had courage. David said, "I'm not scared," and said, "Don't nobody else need to be scared because I'm not scared." Do you have anybody in your circle that say, "We ain't afraid of this devil. We're not going to fear what's going to happen. Don't you be scared because I'm not scared. I'll get out there and I'll do it. I'm just crazy enough. I just got enough faith. I got enough trust in God." See, sometimes you have to look crazy in people's eyesight. Sometimes you got to have crazy faith. When other folks say, "You know what, that don't make no sense. I ain't finna fool with that. You better get back that devil. Ooh, they got a devil. I ain't afraid of that devil. Come here, I got something for you. I got some hands to lay on you." I ain't talking about clothes. I'm talking about open hands to lay on you and tell you that you got to loose that person. You got to let them go. Come on and say, "Man, look, one time I had a spirit that tried to act up one time in the service, and I took him to the back. I said, 'Look, let me tell you something. I'm about to cast you out because you interrupted the flow of what God is doing.'" Now, if you want to keep this spirit, told the person, I was talking to the devil and the person, I said, you want to keep this spirit, you better watch out because I'll cast them out in a minute. Yeah. And I said, "Now, either you're going to be quiet and you're going to sit there, or I'm going to cast you out." They got up. "Okay, I'll be quiet." That person didn't want to let go of that spirit. And they came and they sat in the service, and by the end of the service, they came up to the altar. Because they had tears in their eyes wanting to be saved. But the thing is, you got to understand that people, we get afraid because it's something that we ain't familiar with. Yeah. We're not familiar, so we get afraid. They weren't familiar with giants, so they got afraid. Anybody got any giants in your life? A giant of debt, a giant of sickness, a giant of worry, a giant of depression? All of these giants are in your life. Okay, let me go on. I got to get through. I'm taking a long route. I got to cut the trail. So verse 33 says, Saul tells David, "You ain't able to do this." Look at what he said. Y'all see it? "Thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth." You ain't but a little boy. And he's a man of war since he was a baby. So he know how to fight, but you don't. And you ain't able to do this. Anybody ever doubted you? Because I don't have the experience you think I ought to have. You doubt me because you don't know. But guess what? While I was in the wilderness, you wasn't there. While I was in the wilderness, you don't know me. I've been fighting lions. I've been fighting. That's what David's testimony. Look at what he said. He said, "You don't know. I've been fighting lions." And David was respectable. He said it respectfully. He said, "But when I was out there and they took a lamb out of the flock, a bear," look at this, "the lion and the bear was working together." Ain't that something, how the lion and the bear can work together, but people can't? They got a sheep, a lamb out of the flock. And David said, "I went and I grabbed him by the beard and I cut his throat." Come on and say, "Man, I didn't sit back and throw rocks at him. I went and grabbed him and I told him, 'You can't have what God has given me.'" I wish I had some people in the house. "You can't take away what God has given for me to watch over." Come on and say, "Man, you got to say that about your children. You got to say, 'You can't have my children.' You got to say that about your money. You got to say, 'You can't have my money.' You got to say that about your job, your whatever, your health. You got to say, 'You can't take my health, for I'm going to be strong and I'm going to be healthy.'" Come on and say, "Man, whatever you think the lion is taking and whatever that heavy old bear has weighed you down with, you need to let him know I'm here to cut your throat today, and you can't have what I have, what God has given me." Come on and say, "Man, it is." I'm going to try to get there. But Saul doubted him. Tell him, "Don't doubt me. Because you don't know what I've been fighting already. I didn't have an audience when I conquered them. I didn't have nobody looking. I wish I had. So I did this in the quietness of the wilderness while I was out there by myself. I wish I had somebody. I didn't have nobody to tell me to go on and cut his throat, but I went anyway. I didn't have nobody to tell me to chase him down, but I stopped him anyhow. You don't know what I've been doing, so you just step back. Don't let people tell you what you can't do. They haven't been there. They don't know what you've been praying. They don't know how you are a prayer warrior. They don't know what anointing God has placed on you. They wasn't there when the oil flew out on your head. They wasn't there when God spoke to you. They wasn't, I wish I had somebody. They wasn't there when you were all by yourself, just you and a few sheep. Oh, and the sheep can't tell it because they don't know. All they know is they're thankful and they'll follow you anywhere because you were the one that led them. You're the one that saved them out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear. Do I have a witness? You ain't got to tell everybody what you did. David said, I ain't told my daddy. I ain't told my brothers. I ain't told nobody. But just so you know, you may not look at me as a champion. You may not look at me as a man of war. But just so you know, I ain't as weak as you think I am. I can do some stuff. Hallelujah. I can do some things that you didn't think I could do. Don't look at this frame. You need to look at what's on the inside. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Do I have a witness? Oh yes. Hallelujah. Saul said, you can't do it. They don't know what you did. They've been watching you, but they ain't watched you enough. See, you were a non-factor to them, so they didn't watch you all the way. They didn't know what you were capable of. Saul said, you ain't but a youth. I'm sizing you up. I'm checking you out. I know what a mighty man of war looks like, and you don't look like him. That's all right. Sometimes God sends things that don't look like what you think they ought to look like. Amen. Preach. David told him in verse 34 and 35, he said, look at my testimony. I did this. Verse 35 said, I caught him by the beard. David said, look, I was close to his mouth. And I delivered, look at this, the lamb was in his mouth. David said, I cut his throat where he couldn't swallow. And delivered the lamb out of his mouth. Powerful. All right, let me try to get on here. So verse 38, and Saul said, okay then, since you want to do it, Saul said, I know you can't, but since you want to do it, I'm going to give you my armor. I'm going to put you the king's armor on. And at first I thought that Saul was really trying to do him a favor. But Saul put the armor on him so the people would think that he was the king. Saul was scary himself. And would much rather put a boy out there and dress him like a king for him to die. Isn't that something? Hoping that would spare his life whenever, because they would think, well, we killed the king, so we ain't got to run him down to kill him. Isn't that something? But look at this. So David puts on the armor.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.